God's certainly been good to us. Amen. Let's continue to pray together and worship together and love one another and just see what the Lord does. Amen. Esther chapter number 4 this morning for the reading of the Word of God. The Bible said in verse number 13, "Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther. He said, Think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed." And the word of God said, "And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning for each one that's gathered in the house of God today. God, there's so many needs that need to be addressed, but God, I know you can take the Bible and address each one, and I pray, God, today that you administer to the hearts and lives of your people. Dear God, if there's a man, a woman, a boy, or a girl here today that's in need of a Savior, that's not been saved, yet is old enough to be accountable for their sin, how I pray, God, that they would, Lord, be stirred and quickened by the Holy Spirit and come to that place, our Father, where they would want to humble themselves and receive Christ as Savior. God, for each one of us, each member, and each visitor, each one, Lord, here at Bible Way Baptist Church, I pray, God, that, Lord, we would be challenged today through this message. Help us, I do pray, to honor you in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. The story of Esther is a common story in the Word of God. We know how that Ahasuerus is sent for the queen, Vashti, and Vashti refused to come. He was actually having a party. It's amazing when you look at it and study it. It was actually a 6 months drunken stupor. And he invited his wife to come and the queen to come, and the queen refused to come. And in all of that, they began to set aside virgins in the land, and Esther happened to be one of those. And when we use the word happened, we always need to remember the providence of an almighty God. God in His providence was going to deliver His people. They were going to be in trouble before too long in the book of Esther. A decree is going to be made to go throughout the land and to kill the Jews. There always have been somebody in the earth that hated God's people. And I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but in this great country that we live in, God's people are no longer in the majority. God's people are in the minority. And I want you to know today that I believe that this world has a system and a program that is running directly contrary to the Word of God and directly contrary to the Church of the Living God in this generation that we live in. You say, "Preacher, I wonder why God put this in your heart." He actually put it in my heart way back before Mother's Day. And I was looking last night and meditating and reading, and the Lord reminded me that He had put it in my heart. And I told my wife this morning, when I began to look at it, God began to build a fire under it. Brother Gary, if God don't light a fire under it, I can't preach it. Amen. If it don't do something for me, it's not going to do anything for you. Amen. But God put it in my heart, and God began to light a fire under it. In 481 or 483 B.C., Ahasuerus, or Xerxes, the king of Persia, had been 103 years since Nebuchadnezzar took the Jews into captivity, 54 years after Zerubbabel led the first group of exiles back to Jerusalem. And then it was 25 years before Ezra led the second group to Jerusalem. It was a time in history when It was kind of like it was in the book of Judges. Everybody was doing that which was right in their own eyes. Or the majority was in the world. It was a time of wicked leadership. The kings and the leaders in this message today will speak of a man by the name of Haman. They had this 6-month drunken stupor party, and sin was rampant. The Bible said when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. We think about the morals of some of our leaders today. The Bible said that righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Can you remember a time in America when it mattered whether a man had morals or not? When you went into the voting booth, say amen. It mattered whether he was a family man or not. It mattered whether he was a good husband. Amen. It mattered whether he was a good father. It mattered whether he had good standing in the community. Let me just make a statement right here. We've gotten to a place in America when they'll take just anything in the pulpit. Not just a politician, say amen. They don't matter anymore. Amen. But I tell you, to God, it still matters this morning. And for such a time as this, a time when we're living among wicked leadership, a time when sin is rampant, a time when the morals are decaying, a time when atheists and agnostics are leading in our schools and universities. Let me say something real quickly. I was with my daughter, my granddaughter. We went to her little program. She graduated the sixth grade, right, honey? Graduated, her sixth grade graduation. And there's people, our brother David, that I know love God. I seen them come in. I was there, and they filled up that section of bleachers. And I'm going to tell you something, right? You can think whatever you want to about what I'm about to say. I'm just telling you what God did in my heart. The principal of the school called for a moment of silence. He said, "Preacher, what's going on?" I'll tell you what's going on. They want to silence God's people, and I'm under conviction last night and this morning. I was that day because I didn't say something. He said, "Preacher, that guy, that officer would have hauled you out of there." I believe we need to get back to the place where we're willing to be hauled. Amen. I tell you, we bowed our heads for about 60 seconds. You could have heard a pin drop, and I wanted so bad, just to say, "Thank you, Lord Jesus, for a wonderful day." Amen. And I kept my mouth shut. Amen. And I tell you, it's time God's people realize, amen, it's more than a moment of silence we need in this country. We need to stand up. We need to speak up, amen, for the glory of an almighty God. Such a time as this. Such a time as this. I'll tell you something right now. You say, "Preacher, you ain't got no business shoving your Christianity." No, they ain't got no business shoving that stuff on me either. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart. I told somebody, there was another preacher there after the meeting. I said, "I wanted so bad just to say, thank you, Lord Jesus, for a wonderful day." His wife looked at me and said, "I'm surprised you didn't." Well, maybe the next time they won't be surprised. Such a time. We're in a desperate hour in America. We need Christians in the church, but we need Christians on the job. We need Christians in the school. We need God's people in America. Amen. Such a time as this. I thought about not only the leadership and not only how the sin is rampant, not only about the leaders of our day and the atheists, the agnostics that have infiltrated our school, but even the church leaders in America have fallen into a snare of worldliness and immoral behavior. No wonder the Apostle Paul said this. He said, "But I keep under my body, I bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I preach to others, I myself should be a castaway." You say, "Preacher, we're in agreement with you this morning." I'm going to tell you something right now. If you're not the next one that goes down,
5 preachers in the house this morning besides myself. If you're not the next one that goes down, it'll be by the grace of God. If I'm not the next one that goes down, it'll be by the grace of God. We have to keep under our body. We have to bring it into subjection, or we'll be the next moral wreck in America. Amen. For such a time as this. Someone said years ago, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. How many's with me this morning? How many's glad God put us in Bloomingdale for such a time as this? How many say, preacher, we're with you. We're not going to do nothing. We're not going to sit idly by while our community goes to hell. We're going to work till Jesus comes. Edmund Burke said, all that is necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. The hottest regions of hell are for those who do nothing at a time of great need. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. I say to every one of us this morning, we better be doing what God told us to do. Amen. You say, preacher, it's not all about doing. We need to be. I'm going to tell you something right now. If we will be what God wants us to be, we will do what God wants us to do. My pastor said years ago, Brother Danny Sykes, I never have forgotten it. He said, if we believe right, we'll behave right. If we believe right, we'll behave right. I tell you, I thank God for our church. He said, preacher, what about a time like this, a time that we're living in? I have a simple message this morning, and I want to try to get it across to you just as quickly as I possibly can. There's 3 things that I see in the book of Esther, especially in the story here. We know that the Jews are about to be annihilated unless the God of heaven intervenes. Amen. And we know that it's a bad time for Mordecai. It's a bad time for Esther. But let me just say something to you real quickly. There's 3 things I want to bring out in the message. Number one, there's somebody on the devil's side. In this story, there's somebody on the devil's side. That wicked Haman is on the devil's side. You say, preacher, that's pretty easy to understand. But listen, he hates God's people. Why is Haman so upset? Let me tell you why. Because Mordecai comes through the gate. Amen. And Haman comes through the gate, and Mordecai is sitting among those there in the gate, and Mordecai will not bow to Haman. Amen. He will not bow to that system. He will not bow. Hey, there was only one king in Mordecai's life, and he was the God of heaven. Amen. And he was the only one that he was going to bow to, but that wicked Haman got it in his heart to get even with Mordecai. He hated him. Let me give you some things this morning. Somebody on the devil's side. Somebody on the devil's side. Think about this. Mordecai wouldn't bow. The 3 Hebrew children wouldn't bow. Daniel wouldn't bow. Say amen. I'm so glad this book is full of people that would not bow. But there's somebody on the devil's side. There's some politicians on the devil's side. He said, preacher, I wouldn't say that. That's why I'm preaching. There's some politicians on the devil's side. They're not standing in full support of Israel. They're on the devil's side. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. I just did, and I ain't taking it back. God said, I'll bless them that bless thee. That still holds true today. Say amen. I'm telling you what, we need to be concerned about our nation and what's going on in our Congress and the presidency concerning the apple of God's eye, that little nation of Israel. Amen. Hallelujah. There's some politicians that vote for liquor. They're on the devil's side. They vote according to their constituents instead of voting according to their conscience. They're on the devil's side. They vote the Bible and prayer out of school. They're on the devil's side. They vote to kill the babies. They're on the devil's side. They vote for sodomy. They're on the devil's side. They're on the devil's side. He said, well, preacher, I believe he's a good man. I'm going to tell you what. You look at his voting record and you'll find out whether he's a good man or not. if he's a good man, if there's just one that voted against something, if it seems like he's voting with the Bible, he's probably a good man. But I'm going to tell you something, those are few and far between in this generation. I believe with all of my heart, God sets them up and God takes them down. And I believe one of the greatest failures that we have in America is not in the White House, it's in God's house. I believe one of the reasons we're facing what we're facing is not because we have a weak president, but because we have a weak pulpit in America. Amen. I believe with all of my heart, listen, it's not just politicians, but it's preachers. Amen, Brother Eddie. There's preachers out there preaching a religion that's false instead of a relationship with the Father. They're on the devil's side. They're preaching current events instead of preaching the cross. They're on the devil's side. They're preaching for money instead of preaching for the Master. They're on the devil's side. I thank God for what this church does for me. I thank my God for what you do for me. But I'll tell you what, I will never, never compromise the Word of God in fear of what you might do with what you do for me. You say, preacher, God is using Bible Way Baptist Church to take care of you. How many believes that? I do. God is using Bible Way Baptist Church to take care of me. But let me give you something right now. If the church ever decided they wasn't going to take care of me, remember, God will. God will take care of me. And God will take care of you. There's too many looking for the government to be their God. Preachers, preaching a religion, a false religion, preaching current events instead of the cross, preaching for money, preaching a work salvation instead of a salvation that works. All across America, telling people if you'll come down here and sign a little card, you'll be all right. If you'll let us sprinkle you, you'll be all right. I tell you what'll happen if you've never been born again. You'll die without God and you'll go to hell. You'll never be all right. Preachers, on the devil's side. You say, preacher, you shouldn't say that. Read your Bible. The Bible said that His ministers are transformed into angels of light. I'm telling you, the devil's busier in the pulpit in America than he is in the bar room. Deceiving people. Soothing their conscience while they live in sin. God help us. Amen. I don't want to be guilty of that mess, do you? Amen. I'm going to tell you something right now. If I didn't have a preacher that would rear back and preach the Word of God like it is to me, just like I was, I'd be hunting another preacher. We don't need our ears tickled. We need the truth of the Word of God. Preachers, preaching to be popular. Instead of preaching with power. You know I'm telling the truth. All they want is everybody to like them. You say, well, preacher, I already don't like you. Get in line. There's a lot of people that don't like the truth. Say amen. But if you love God and you love the Bible, you love Bible preaching. Love it. Men in this church is with tears in their eyes have said, I want my grandchildren to be saved. And I want my grandchildren to be saved. And we want our neighbors to be saved. We want our kids to be saved. Well, they're not going to be saved apart from the preaching of the Word of God. Amen. Preaching to be popular instead of preaching with power. What about people? You say, preacher, somebody on the devil's side. Yeah, the politicians, he's got them. The preachers, he's got a bunch of them, a bunch of politicians. He's also got a bunch of people on his side. He said, preacher, what do you mean? That's people that love their sin instead of the Savior. There'll be people, Brother Joe, come and go in churches like this. They'll come and God the Holy Ghost will visit with them. And they'll leave the same way they come. And I'll tell you why. Because they like their life just like it is. They don't want to change. They don't want the Savior. If they did, they'd run to Him. Amen. They're people on the devil's side. They love their sin instead of loving the Savior. They live for their self instead of living for others. They're lies. They believe the lies instead of believing the truth. And then they long for this world instead of longing for the next. People. I don't know about you, but you know what my Bible said? Who is on the Lord's side? Amen. Brother Wayne, I want to stand in such a way that nobody ever gets me mixed up with which side I'm on. Amen. Joshua said it like this. He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. For such a time as this. He said, preacher, you believe God brought you the Bible way? No. Listen to me carefully. I know He did. He brought me for such a time as this. You're here at Bible Way for such a time as this. These preachers are here for such a time as this. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? It didn't happen by accident. It happened by providence. And God has got something for us to do in such a time as this. The Jews are about to be annihilated unless God intervenes. Thank the Lord. There's somebody on the devil's side, but that's not where it ends. There's somebody on the Lord's side. Mordecai, Esther, and not only that, they're people. Esther told Mordecai, said, you get them together and you fast and you pray and I'll go in before the king. And she said it like this. She said, if I perish, I perish. Amen. In other words, I'm going to do what's right if it kills me. God, give us some more men, Brother Sam, and some more women that'll say, by the grace of God, I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to obey my Lord. I'm going to do what's right. And if I perish, I perish. The reason a lot of men have compromised is they're afraid of what's going to happen to them. But the Bible said perfect love casteth out fear. Aren't you glad that John the Baptist wasn't afraid? Aren't you glad he wasn't afraid to stick that finger up Herod's nose and say it ain't lawful for you to have your brother's wife? Aren't you glad? You say, preacher, it got his head cut off. Can you just see him coming in there with his head on a charger? I don't know this for sure, Brother Fred, but I'd like to think that John had his tongue stuck out at him. All you did, John's thinking, all you did was help me to get over where the best friend I ever had in this world is. His name's Jesus. He said, I'm not the bride. He said, but I'm a friend of the bridegroom. Hallelujah. Help me to get to my friend's house. He said, preacher, there's somebody on the Lord's side. Yes, Elijah said, how long halt you between two opinions? If God be God, then serve Him. Thank God there was some on the Lord's side. Moses said, who's on the Lord's side? Joshua said, choose you this day. Listen. Down there where you work, do they know whose side you're on? In your home, do they know whose side you're on? It's a sad day. Listen to me carefully. But sometimes even in the church, you can't tell whose side people are on. Somebody say amen right there. You say, preacher, you want them to be on your side? No, you're missing the whole message if that's what you get out of it. I want you to be on the Lord's side. Now that happens to be my side. Say amen right there. That's the side I'm on, amen. That's the winning side. That's the one, my friend, that in the end, we're going to be glad we were on that side. If I perish, I perish. Esther said, I'll go before the king and by the grace of God, I'll get in there. You know what I want to say? I'll go before the king. That's what I try to do week after week, is go before the king. I get before the king and the king gives me something. And I come out and I preach it. And I just want to say to the church this morning, if I perish, I perish. But that's the only way I know how to operate. It's just go before the king. Whatever the king gives me, just come out here and give it to you all. Say amen. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to keep going before the king. I'm going to keep bringing the mail. Amen. Thank God years ago, Brother Jack was a mailman. Amen. Well, I'm a mailman too. Ain't never worked for the federal government, but I'm delivering God's mail. Say amen. I believe with all of my heart that's what we need. It's the mail. The mail from God. If I perish, I perish. Going to keep preaching salvation by grace, and if I perish, I perish. Going to keep preaching separation and sanctification. If I perish, I perish. Going to keep preaching soul winning. Let the scriptures ride. Amen. We don't need another Bible. This old King James Bible will get it done. It's been a getting it done. It'll keep a getting it done. And if I perish, I perish. But I'm going to keep a preaching it. Going to keep preaching that we need Spirit-filled singing. Amen, Brother Joe. We don't need that contemporary bebop outfit in here. And as long as I'm pastor, they ain't a coming. Say amen. And if somebody slips in, we'll shut it down right quick. Did you hear me? Say amen. We're going to take a stand. And if I perish, I perish. I come here several months ago. And I'm going to tell you, one of the things that I loved was the old-fashioned singing. You say, preacher, you're 53 years old. It ain't no wonder you love it. How about if I give you this? I've been loving it since I was 27 and got saved by the grace of God. I believe saved people like Spirit-filled music, hymns and psalms and spiritual songs. Amen. Something that ministers to my heart, not to my foot. I can put a quarter in a jukebox and take care of my foot. But I want my heart ministered to. For such a time as this, Brother Fred, you're here for such a time as this. Oh, we need some modern Bible. No, we don't. Oh, we need some modern music. No, we don't. Amen. Give me the old way. Look at this group of young people. People say, oh, if you're going to have young people in your church, man, you just got to compromise. You got to roll over and play dead when it comes to the Bible. That's a lie out of hell. Look back there sitting at that young couple. There's some young people that haven't sold out to the dog. Say amen. Sold out to the devil. That want to hear the truth. They want to hear the Bible. And I thank God for them. They're praying for me. And I thank my God for them. Amen. For such a time as this. Cry out against sin. The Bible said, cry aloud and spare not. The Bible said, my friend of Jonah, go down there to Nineveh and cry out against it. If I perish, I perish. In the book of Esther, I'm just going to tell the story real quick. How many's got the message so far? How many believes they some on the devil's side? How many believes they some on the Lord's side? If you're on the Lord's side, stand up real quick if you're able to and just holler real loud, I'm on the Lord's side. Amen. Let me hear you. Hold your Bible up there while you say it. I'm on the Lord's side. Now let me finish the message. You can be seated. I didn't know if Brother Earl would get up or not, but he did. Amen. What I meant by that, Brother Earl, there ain't no doubt you're on the Lord's side. I didn't know if you was able, brother. And that's what I meant. Ain't no doubt in my mind that man's on the Lord's side. Get a hold of this, and we'll catch you down there at the red light somewhere. There's somebody on the devil's side. There's somebody on the Lord's side. But guess what, sis? There's somebody on the other side. Glory to God. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? How many remembers when the king couldn't sleep? Oh, King Ahasuerus, remember he couldn't sleep. And he sent for his servants, Brother Joe, and he said, hey, is there anybody that we need to honor? And that they brought them books in there, them chronicles in there. By the way, God's keeping the books on us too. Say amen. They brought him in there and they said, well, look here. This guy by the name of Mordecai, he saved your life. And he said, what shall be done? They said, well, I don't know. So they sent out for Haman. And Haman, that wicked one, he came in before the king, and the king said, what shall be done for the man to whom the king delighted to honor? Ain't God good? He's going to let that wicked Haman lay it out. Amen. Get the royal robe, put him on a horse, ride him through town. Amen. And I tell you, Haman didn't know that he was spelling it out for Mordecai. You say, preacher, what are you trying to say? I'm trying to say, yes, there's somebody on the devil's side. Yes, there's somebody on the Lord's side. But thank God Almighty, there's somebody on the other side working in behalf of this precious group of people. His name is Jesus. In the providence of God, God had it worked out. Somebody on the other side. Our Lord put it in the heart of the king right on time. The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord as the rivers of water. He turneth it whithersoever he will. Our Lord took sleep from the king. Our Lord is going to see to it that Mordecai reaps wherein he is sown. Mordecai, one day, he sowed a little kindness. And thank God later, he reaped a lot of kindness. If we'd ever get that in our heart, do what's right today. Oh, you say, preacher, I would if I could reap it tomorrow. What if you don't reap it till the judgment seat of Christ? You still ought to do what's right today. You still ought to do what's right tomorrow. We still ought to do what's right this week. We still ought to forgive one another and be kind one to another and be tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. I'm telling you that God saw to it that what Mordecai had done previously was now going to be rewarded. Amen. Sister Kay, you and Sister Joyce labor back there and send out those lessons. You don't put that seed in the mail today and expect fruit tomorrow. It takes faithfulness. It takes year after year after year after year. And thank God maybe somebody will come to you in heaven and say, I'm here because I got the Word of God in the mail and I understood my need of Jesus. Amen. And I trusted Him to be my Savior. Hallelujah. Somebody on the other side. Our Lord is going to use that wicked Haman to determine the honor that will be bestowed upon Mordecai. Listen to me carefully, and I'm going to shut her down right here. My daddy used to say, son, if you'll give a man enough rope, he'll hang himself. Boy, don't you know that Mordecai was real proud when he was building those gallows? That's right, boys. Get her just right. Get that rope just right. Get that elevation just right. Get that weight on the other end of that rope just right. Get it just right, boys. Fix it up good for Mordecai. You know what Mordecai kept doing? He kept depending on somebody on the other side. And you know what that man on the other side done? He switched necks with that rope. Say amen right there. That gallows that was built for Mordecai, Haman, ended up hanging by the rope that he had prepared for another. That's my God. He said, preacher, I just can't be good to so-and-so. You don't know what they done to me. If you understood what I'm preaching right now, you'd be real good to them. You'd let God have the rope. You'd let God take care of it. Amen? I'm telling you, I'm real thankful this morning. I'm on the Lord's side. He said, preacher, I'm not sure which side I'm on. Well, let me just say this. You're one way or the other. Jesus said it like this, if you're not for me, you're against me. Oh, you say, preacher, I'm on the fence. I guess that's good preaching. Except, you can't find it in the Bible. You can't find no fence straddling preaching in the Bible. You either on one side or the other. You ain't got one foot in both fields. You're either for me, Jesus said, or against me. You're either gathering in. Listen to me, church. God's going to gather them in with or without you, but wouldn't you want to be a part of it? Amen. We're either gathering in or we're scattering abroad. How many's ever been around a church where somebody let their tongue get loose and it just scattered abroad? It scattered them. Say amen. Oh, my soul. Which side you on? Years ago, my grandfather was preaching in a Methodist church. Years ago, you couldn't tell the difference. I mean, when they had revival, buddy, they had revival. People sticking their head in the window. It didn't matter if it was a Methodist church or a Baptist church. They loved God. They preached heaven sweet and preached hell hot. Years ago, my grandfather said it was a common practice at the end of the service to say, anybody got a word on your heart before we leave? A black lady stood up, Brother Joe, in the back of the church. She said, I want to tell you white folk one thing, and I want to tell you black folk the same thing. Either you is or you ain't. And she sat down. You say what you want to, but that's good preaching. You're either on your way to heaven or you're on your way to hell. You're either in or out. You're either saved or lost. Amen? I don't know about you, but I'd hate to leave a service like this on the devil's side. If I was in here this morning and I was on the devil's side, you know what I'd do? I'd trade sides. You know what you trade when you trade sides? You trade futures. Not only that, you trade fathers. Brother Earl, you remember when the devil was your father like he was my father? He's a terrible taskmaster, ain't he? Lies to us all the time. But thank God I got a heavenly Father that's never lied to me. Always cared about me. Amen. This morning, if you're here, let me just give you this. Young people, y'all listen to me. Moms and dads, listen to me. Grandparents, listen to me. Here's what's real sad about our generation. Here's what we want to make sure. Make sure. Make doubly sure that we don't have in our church. Listen to me, you'll understand. There's people on the Lord's side that are living like they're on the devil's side. He said, preacher, that's an impossibility. Have you read your Bible? How many believes David was on the Lord's side? How many believes it? How many believes when he looked down there at Bathsheba and sent for her and slept with her that he was acting like he was on the devil's side? Say amen! And if a man after God's own heart could act like he's on the wrong side, you better believe you and I can. You know what we need? We need some wives with enough boldness to look at their husbands and saying, you're acting like you're on the devil's side. We need some husbands with enough boldness to look at their wives and say, you're acting like you're on the devil's side. We need some moms and dads with enough boldness to look at your teenagers and say, honey, I know you love the Lord, but you're acting like you're on the devil's side. We need some teenagers with enough boldness to say, daddy, I love you, but you're acting like you're on the devil's side. You say, now, preacher, you will get it stirred up right there. I'll tell you what, somebody will either get mad or get right. I'll take my chances on somebody getting right. Say amen. We're mad about something anyway. Amen. For such a time as this. Somebody's on the devil's side. Somebody's on the Lord's side. But my favorite part about the whole message, Brother Johnny, somebody's on the other side. Somebody loves me. Answers my prayer. I know somebody. I know He cares. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Father, thank You this morning for the privilege to preach the Bible. Thank You, Lord, for this wonderful, wonderful crowd You've sent today. Thank You for the wonderful Spirit. God, I know today that You're able to help us. And I pray, God, that You will help us. We need Your help, Lord.